The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, March 28th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for the show. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up for you today. We'll get right to it. First, let's introduce the staff here on the show. Our co-host and engineer, Ganja John, is in the house.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, man, we're looking forward to the weekend. Joe Rogan's coming.
I'm looking forward to the cup.
Oh,
I mean, I'm looking forward to Joe Rogan, but the...
The Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver is happening this weekend. I got a tweet from Danny Danko earlier. He said, just touched down in Denver. Let the festivities begin.
Duh.
He's got a whole lot of judging to get done
in the next three or four days,
I'm sure.
I am jealous of you, Mr. Danko.
I think John Doe Radio on the Normal Network is also going to have him live in studio sometime this week.
Tomorrow?
Probably okay,
tomorrow.
So check that out, too, as part of our Normal Network. Also joining us here from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys. Denver sure sounds like a fun place. I can't wait to get there in a few weeks myself.
Oh, yeah. Carrie's going to be there with us, as well as Ganja John, as we cover the Normal National Conference, April 21st through 23rd. I'll be there a day early. I'll be there for 420 as well. We'll see what happens there. We got all sorts of interesting stuff to get to today. Let's get right to it. First of all, a change in our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tuner.
Our new Daily Toker Tuner.
That's right. Our new Daily Toker Tuner is Canna Bob taking over for Cannabis Carrie. And Carrie, I do want to thank you for doing such a great job on getting those tunes together for so long.
You're welcome. I think I've been doing it about 3 years now. And as you know, finding a tune can often take a lot more time than finding a news story.
So, oh, yeah.
I'm looking for a little bit of a break, but I'll probably pop in on somewhere on the music from now time and time again.
That's right. And Canna Bob, of course, is the host of the Viper Hour here on the Normal Network. So there'll be a lot of tie-in with some of that reefer jazz that he's been playing from the 20s and 30s, some of that reefer blues as well. So really looking forward to that today. We've got video from Canna Bob today, a video tune. So it's Cab Calloway with Kickin' the Gong. So we'll get to that at 20 after the hour. At half past, we're going to go long on a radical rant today because I've been doing a lot of writing for my new book, The Normal Big Book of Marijuana Statistics. And I put together a couple of charts that I kind of showed some people over the weekend. And I thought, you know, I ought to just show this to everyone. So we're going to do a master class in marijuana arrest statistics, American prison statistics, and a look at the Drug Employment Agency. That's right, the DEA statistics. Are coming up here on the Radical Rant. We'll be videotaping that as well so that you can embed that on your blogs or catch it on our blog at stash.normal.org. So grab your kids, grab your wife, get in front of the computer because there's going to be some statistics going on and you're going to learn more than you thought you could ever know about arrests and prison and the Drug Employment Agency coming up here at half past the hour. And then at 2 o'clock, we will go into daily Toker Talk Radio, excuse me, with me and Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie hanging out and taking your calls. Later up on today's Normal Network lineup, you will get to hear the Viper Hour, John Doe Radio, Drug Truth Network, all coming up later tonight. Check out our blog at stash.normal.org. Click the Normal Network header to get the shows and the times. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The most recent medical marijuana state has released its rules for their new program today. The Arizona Department of Health Services released the final version of the state's medical marijuana regulations after months of rewriting and rewriting drafts of the rules. Proposition 203 was passed with the consent of the Arizona voters in November. The 92-page rulebook is the guidelines in which qualifying patients, their caregivers, physicians, and any dispensaries and cultivation centers must follow. Along with the rule packet being released today is a certification document that all qualifying patients will need to have their physicians complete in order to receive the state's authorization to become a medical marijuana patient. Dispensaries must operate as nonprofit centers, and they will need to have checklists of security features installed, such as video cameras on entrances and exits, and cameras in any grow rooms that can identify activity under low light conditions. Panic buttons must also be installed in various places inside of the building, as well as rules for storing records, selling edibles, and labeling medical marijuana sold. All medical marijuana sold in any Arizona dispensary must have the following warning label. The Arizona Department of Health Services warning, marijuana can be addictive and can impair an individual's ability to drive a motor vehicle or operate heavy machinery. Marijuana smoke contains carcinogens and can lead to an increased risk of cancer, tachycardia, hypertension, and heart attack and lung infection. Keep out of reach of children. Now, fees were also outlined. Dispensary registration will cost $5,000 for the first year and $1,000 after that. And if you want to change your location or add a cultivation site, that'll cost you another $2,500. The fees might seem reasonable, but you must also provide a financial statement that proves that you have $150,000 available to run the business before you open your doors. A patient will have to shell out $150 a year, and a caregiver will need to pony up $200 a year for the privilege. There will be a program for lower income level patients to pay a reduced rate of $75 per year. Now, for a physician recommending marijuana to a patient, they must fill out a statement that includes all kinds of information about the reason to recommend and signaling that the doctor has done a complete review of the patient's records from any physicians in the last 12 months, a statement about conventional methods that were tried by the patient before marijuana, and a statement that the risk of marijuana was explained to the patient in detail. Caregivers must also fill out statements that they pledge not to divert marijuana to anyone other than the patient or patients that they are helping, and they must provide provide personal information like fingerprints, addresses, and any previous names, birth dates, social security numbers, citizenship status, race, height, weight, hair, and eye color, and place of birth, including a background check. The rules also include the legal number of days a department can take to process any applications or changes to existing records, and you must receive an approval or denial writing within 15 working days from the application being received. Now, the process for medical marijuana dispensaries has already begun, but they can begin to submit their applications to the health department beginning on June 1st. The rules will officially go into effect on April 14th.
Wow, 92 pages worth of rules to learn. Amazing here. I had to comment, though, on the warning label you said that they had to put with medical marijuana, that medical marijuana could be addictive. Okay, but we're talking about an addiction that is so low in withdrawal and in symptoms here that it's a little bit overblown to call it an addiction. I think if they could say, you know, marijuana can cause dependence, I think that would be a little bit better, a little more accurate. Marijuana can impair your ability to operate heavy machinery or drive. Well, yeah, that's true. But you notice how we get on bottles of dronabinol, on Marinol, the synthetic THC. They say, until you know how Marinol may affect you, do not drive or operate heavy machinery. How about that with medical marijuana? Until you know how medical marijuana may affect you, do not drive or operate heavy machinery. And then the part about marijuana contains carcinogens. If it's smoked, it contains carcinogens. Now, a lot of these people are going to be vaporizing, using it in tinctures, you know, edibles. So in that case, they don't have to worry about the carcinogenic factors. The carcinogens are a factor of burning vegetable matter. I mean, you burn any type of vegetable matter, you get these carcinogens. But the part they say, an increased risk of cancer, we know that to not be true. In fact, we know the opposite to be true through the research of Dr. Donald Tashkin at UCLA in 2006, where he tried to prove the link between smoking pot and lung cancer. And found not only was there not a link, there was an inverse relationship. The people who smoked cannabis only had less incidence of head, neck, or lung cancer. And that's not to say that you can't get lung cancer from smoking pot. It's just to say you got less of a chance of it than people that are smoking cigarettes or people that are not smoking anything at all. And then the last part on that, keep out of the reach of children. I'm all for that. Let's keep that on all of the warning labels.
Some Los Angeles dispensaries that were breathing a sigh of relief 3 weeks ago when they didn't receive a letter asking for their immediate closure are now wondering about their next move. In an ever-widening campaign against medical marijuana dispensaries that are being declared illegal by Los Angeles city officials, 60 additional dispensaries received letters on Friday warning them that they must immediately close their doors. The new batch of letters from the city attorney's office notified operators and their landlords that if they did not close, the office will be working with the police department to gather evidence used in court proceedings to shut them down. The new batch of 60 dispensaries forced to close joins the 141 shops already asked to close their doors earlier this month. Both sets of letters warn that the city will sue violators, seek financial penalties, and padlock the property in an attempt to force closure. Assistant City Attorney Asha Greenberg, who is overseeing the enforcement efforts, said that city employees had checked every one of the newly notified locations to make sure that they were still opened and operating illegally. She also added that the office has not determined whether every one of those stores are actually selling marijuana. So far, 11 of the dispensaries shut down their operations. Six said they are wrapping up loose ends in an effort to close their doors, and one site so far has denied that they are a medical marijuana dispensary. The city is targeting any dispensaries that did not register for the lottery. The city is holding to choose the final 100 dispensaries that will be allowed to remain open in the city. There were 228 businesses that have applied for that lottery. The city's clerk office is currently reviewing every one of them to determine if they meet all the qualifications to participate in the lottery. The big qualification, though, is if they have been in business since September 14th of 2007 with at least one of the same operators.
Man, I can't even imagine trying to be a dispensary operator in L.A. over these past, you know, dozen years or so. Can I open a business? Yeah, go ahead and open your business. Well, my business is going to be selling medical marijuana to patients. Well, we don't have any rules about that. So can I do it? Well, yeah, I guess we can't stop you. Well, is that mean yes? Yeah, we don't have okay, well, I guess we'll make a dispensary. All right, we got a dispensary going, and okay, here's our sales taxes, and we'll pay the sales taxes for you, and we'll do. Wait a minute. We don't know if we really want to have medical marijuana dispensaries around here. What? Wait a minute. You said that I could. Well, we don't know. We think we'll put a moratorium on. A moratorium on them. I've been in business. I've been hiring people. I've been paying people salaries. I've been paying sales tax to you people. Well, yeah, we don't know. I know. Let's say that there's only 100 dispensaries, and you have to get in a lottery to be one of them. A lottery? You're complaining that some of the dispensaries are good, some of the dispensaries are bad, but the way that you're going to decide which ones stay in business is random chance? Well, you know, we got to be fair to... This is just insane what these guys have had to go through. Los Angeles, you have just abrogated your responsibilities to regulate this industry because of your own moral compunction against medical marijuana. That's it. That's what it really is. If you could have, at the beginning of this whole process, done your duty and worked with the people in this business to have come up and crafted decent regulations for the business instead of turning a blind eye or just ignoring the situation and hoping it'll go away, you could have avoided all of this problem. Now you're going to upend people's businesses, you're going to put people out of work, and the people that are shopping at those dispensaries aren't going to stop getting their medical marijuana. They're going to go shop at other dispensaries now that'll be more powerful and have a bigger market share because of this artificial monopoly you're creating, allowing them to price fix and keep those prices high instead of allowing competition to help bring the prices down. And it's just going to be at random as to who stays in business. So who knows if the dispensary near you is going to stay in business, and now you got to go all the way across town in LA traffic to get your weed. It's just unbelievable that they would have done this to the medical marijuana patients and not come up with a better solution by doing their jobs. But that's politics. People.
And our favorite activist and country music legend Willie Nelson is no stranger to trouble with the law. Last year, he was arrested for marijuana possession as his tour bus was traveling through Texas. The singer, who will turn 78 next month, was accused of possession of 6 ounces of marijuana after a routine checkpoint stop in Sierra Blanca, almost 85 miles east of El Paso last November. After the arrest and the supposed packaging from the marijuana was removed, the weight of the marijuana suspiciously weighed in at just under 3 ounces, barely making it a misdemeanor. Nelson, along with 3 other people on his tour bus, were arrested at the scene and then released after paying $2,500 bond. Nelson was on his way from California to his Texas ranch at the time. This is the 3rd marijuana arrest for Nelson since 1995. The judge in Nelson's current case, Judge Becky Dean Walker, is a fan of Willie Nelson's, along with the prosecutor, County Attorney Kit Bramblett. Bramblett joked to a reporter, quote, "Between me and the sheriff, we threw out enough of it or smoked enough so that there's only 3 ounces, which is within my jurisdiction," unquote. Although misdemeanor marijuana possession charges are usually resolved by mail, Nelson is being offered a proposed plea deal outlined for the Associated Press. It involves payment of a small fine and a court appearance in which Nelson will sing "Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain" with his guitar. Bramblett told another news outlet, quote, "Willie Nelson is 77 years old and I'm 78. He's been my favorite artist all my life. We all know he smokes a little pot." Nelson's celebrity is helping on this case while other Texans aren't so lucky. Just last year, Walter Wooten, a 54-year-old Texas man, was caught parked in a drug-free school zone with just over 4 ounces of marijuana. He had 2 prior convictions in his life, one for carrying a gun without a permit and another for selling cocaine. The prosecutor sought 99 years, but the jury gave him 35. If he survives, Walter Wooten will be out of a Texas prison in time for his 89th birthday. Nelson, who thankfully won't see the inside of a prison cell for his latest marijuana bust, has yet to comment on the plea offer.
Well, of course, nobody wants to see Willie Nelson do time, but the way the cops and the judge react to this... Ha ha ha, we caught him with 6 ounces, but we smoked or threw away enough that there's only 3 left. Ha ha ha, Willie Nelson's been my favorite for years. We know he smokes a little pot. If it's no big deal for Willie Nelson, why is it no big deal for Walter Wooten? Why is it a big deal for all the rest of us who get caught in Texas? This is insane. Treat the rest of us like you're treating Willie Nelson, please.
Someday when we meet up yonder, we will stroll hand in hand again. In a land knows no pardon. Blue eyes crying in the rain.
I think it's time for a break, Russ. And maybe to turn your mic on.
That's radio gold there, man. We nailed that one.
Yeah, we did.
All right, we'll take a break. Be right back with Roots Monday and Cannabob.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, we're going to have to re-record that intro because taking over as of today, Cannabob, the host of the Viper Hour, is taking over as the Roots Monday host. And of course, you can catch a new Viper Hour tonight. I saw the upload come up. The new Viper Hour is up tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific Time, 11 o'clock Eastern. You want to check that out right after Drug Truth Network at 7 and John Doe Radio's new show at 6. All right, let's get to it. He opens up his stint here as the Roots Monday editor with a video of Cab Calloway and kicking the gong. Let's run it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Roots Monday Toker Tune. I'm Cannabob. First off, I want to thank Cannabis Carry for handing over to me the keys of the Monday Roots Toker Tunes. Carry has done a fantastic job with this spot, and Carry, I'll try my best to maintain the coolness that you've created here. Some of you may know me from my show here on the Normal Network called The Viper Hour. You know that I enjoy the old 1920s and 30s reefer jazz blues music, and you can't get much more into the roots of marijuana music than that. We'll be playing a lot of that music here along with some old folk, reggae, and Woodstock era music that make up the roots of marijuana music. And those of you that are watching the live video stream of the show are getting an extra bonus as Roots Monday will also have video along with the music as often as we can. So to start it off right today, we have the king of all vipers, an amazing talent, Cab Calloway, singing Kicking the Gong Around. Now to set this up, we need to talk about Cab Calloway's signature hit, Minnie the Moocher. Not many people know that Minnie was a character in a series of Cab Calloway songs about Smokey Joe and his girlfriend, Minnie the Moocher. Songs such as Minnie the Moocher's Wedding Day, The Ghost of Smokey Joe, Kicking the Gong Around, Minnie's a Hep Cat Now, Swing for Minnie, We Go Well Together, and Zazazaz. Smokey Joe is described as a cokie, meaning a user of cocaine, and Minnie liked kicking the gong around, which was a slang reference for smoking that opium. Finally, they took Minnie to the place where they put the crazies, where she dies. This explains why both the short version and the long version of Minnie the Moocher end with the words, poor men, poor men. So grab your tea, light your gauge, and hit that jive. Here's Cab Calloway from 1932, kicking that gong around.
Was down in Chinatown, all the cokies laid around. Some were high and some were mighty low, counting millions on the floor. When a knock came on the door, and there stood old Smokey Joe. He was sweating cold and pale, he was looking for his frail. He was broke and all his junk ran out. He stood and looked around. Nobody made a sound. And then you'd hear old Cokie shout, tell me, where is Minnie?
Where is Minnie?
I want Minnie.
You want Minnie.
Has she been here kicking the gong around?
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.org.
U.S. vagina malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up U.S. vagina normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI NORML is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI NORML. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvino.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Marijuana consumers, arrests, imprisonment, and the Drug Employment Agency. Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here. And over this last weekend, I've been putting a lot of time and research into my new book, the NORML Big Book of Marijuana Statistics, the science and statistics of cannabis and its consumers. And I don't know exactly when it will be finished, but we will have it out as soon as possible for you to be able to buy online. But as I research this book, I find out all sorts of information that, you know, as a cannabis consumer, I feel is very important, and I just want to share some of this with the listeners today. And I spent some time over the weekend showing this to some of the folks on the chat room, and they really appreciated it. So one of the things that I've used in my speeches as I go to the summer festivals is to try to point out to folks just how many of us there are, just how many cannabis consumers there are, and that we should be more politically powerful than we currently are. And I think one of the things that keeps us down is we really don't know how many of us there are, because being a cannabis consumer means being an outlaw, and outlaws tend to want to stay on the down low. They tend to not want to be counted. So I've used the National Surveys on Drug Use and Health, and they've got a fantastic online data archive that you can analyze, and you can break it down by how many days per year people smoke pot. And so what I've worked this out to is I found out how many adult tokers there are in the United States, just adults. Now, when you hear a lot of these statistics from the government, they will cite 12 and older and count them as cannabis consumers. I'm not going to count them, because other than, you know, well-supervised medical uses, I don't think people under the age of 18 should be smoking pot. So we're counting 18 and older. How many adult tokers are there in the United States? Now, annually, people that will smoke pot at least once in the past year, according to the survey. And remember, when we're talking about this survey data, these are people that are willing to admit to an anonymous pollster representing the government that they willingly break state and federal laws. Okay, so the numbers might be higher is what I'm trying to say here. But at least those who will admit to this on the poll, annual tokers in the United States of America, there are 25,305,000 annual tokers, 25 million of us. Now, monthly tokers, people that will smoke pot at least one day in the previous 30, you know, at least once a month, that works out to 14,995,000 monthly tokers. And that's about 15 million monthly tokers. Daily tokers. Now, there's not an official category for this, so the way I worked it out is I found all the people and I restricted it to people that had smoked pot 341 days out of the past 365. Now, that, on average, works out to smoking every day except 1 or 2 days per month. And you could still make it over 341 days. That works out to 1,140,000 daily tokers. And then finally, registered medical marijuana patients. Now, this is kind of a suspect number as well, because not every medical marijuana registry is available to the public for you to be able to find out how many people, as far as the statistics. I mean, Oregon and Montana and Michigan and Colorado and a lot of these states do publish their most recent patient numbers. Some states don't. And then states like Washington, they don't have a registry. California is voluntary at the county level. So a lot of this stuff is estimate. But it works out to about 439,000 registered medical marijuana patients. Now, I'm betting there's double that many, really. But as far as we can prove that they're on a registry, 439,000. Now, when I throw those numbers out to you, it's hard to get context, though, because it's hard to, you know, really know what are we talking about politically or geographically when we talk about that many people who are regular marijuana consumers. So I broke it down by five different comparisons. U.S. population, U.S. ethnicities, U.S. demographics, U.S. religious affiliations, and U.S. lobbying groups. Okay, so that's how I'm going to break this down here. Now, annual tokers. There are more annual tokers in the United States of America than there are Texans. There are more annual tokers than there are male Hispanics. There are more annual tokers than there are blind Americans. There are more annual tokers than there are non-denominational Christians. There are more annual tokers than the top 10 issue lobby groups in America, including MoveOn.org, the National Rifle Association, the American Family Association, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, NARAL Pro-Choice America, the Human Rights Campaign, the American Civil Liberties Union, the NAACP, the American Medical Association, and the American College of Physicians. There are more annual tokers than all of those groups combined in their membership. There are more monthly tokers. Remember, 15 million monthly tokers. There are more monthly tokers than there are Illinoisans, than there are people in the state of Illinois. Or, if you want to get a closer number, there are about as many monthly tokers as there are in people in Virginia and Washington combined. Washington State. Virginia and Washington State combined, about 14 million. There are more monthly tokers in America than Asian Americans. There are more monthly tokers in America than gay and lesbian Americans and transgender Americans and bisexual Americans, the LGBT class, they call that. There are more monthly tokers than LGBT Americans. There are more monthly tokers than the combined membership in the religions of Mormon, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist combined. Now, I know atheist not really a religion. It's like saying baldness is a hair color. But still, the point exists here that all those religions combined, there are more monthly tokers. And this is the really shocking one. There are more monthly tokers in the United States of America than union members in the United States of America. More people will smoke pot this month than belong to any union, either local or, you know, public workers, private unions, whatever. 14.7 million union members, 14.9 million monthly tokers, about 15 million. All right, let's go to the daily tokers. I told you there's 1.1 million daily tokers. Well, that's more people than the state of Rhode Island. I think it's about a million people in Rhode Island. That's more daily tokers in the United States of America than all people in the United States of any Hawaiian or Pacific Islander descent. That's for our Coleco the intern there. There are more daily tokers in the United States of America than Americans living with HIV/AIDS. And there are more daily tokers in America than there are Seventh-day Adventists. Just for, you know, reference sake. And finally, that column on medical marijuana patients, there's about 439,000, let's call it 440,000 registered medical marijuana patients in America. That's more people than there are in the city of Atlanta. That's more people in the United States than have Eastern European descent. You know, Eastern European immigrants, Belarus and Ukraine and such. That's more medical marijuana patients registered than there are total NCAA athletes at all three levels in all sports. There are more medical marijuana patients than there are Christian scientists. And there are more medical marijuana patients registered with their state than there are people registered with their state Green Party. So there's a look at marijuana consumers. We're going to make this a two-parter. When we come back for part two, we're going to take a look at arrest and imprisonment statistics and how that all leads to the Drug Employment Agency. Stay tuned. More rant coming after this.
The Normal PAC, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
All right, welcome back here to the Radical Rant. We just took a look at the statistics behind how many marijuana consumers there are in the United States, and this is part of my normal big book of marijuana facts that I'm currently writing. And we move next to a couple of slides that I designed for the book, and this is a slide that I call Normal People Arrested and Imprisoned, and it kind of gives you the statistics of drug war arrests and how that's disproportionately racist and how it's just clogging our prison systems. And we'll take a little more in-depth view here as we zoom in just a little bit. First of all, this is a chart of four decades of drug war arrests. And the way that it works is in the gray section, this dark gray section, you're going to see the drug arrests. That is, arrests for everything except marijuana. And then in green, you're going to see the marijuana arrests, and 20.8 million marijuana arrests that we cover over the 40-year drug war. The black dotted line is showing you the percentage of how many drug arrests are for marijuana. Okay, so that's kind of a measure of how is the drug war tilting. Like right there where you see 71%, 72%, we're talking about the drug war, that 71% of all drug arrests were for marijuana at that time. Now, as we begin, we start in 1970 with the Declaration of the War on Drugs and Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, their administration. The first year there, 188,000 marijuana arrests. By the end of the Ford administration, beginning of Carter, they were up to 457,000 marijuana arrests, an increase of 143%. 3% in marijuana arrests, and marijuana arrests going from 45% of all all drug arrests to 71% of all drug arrests. But very interesting statistic we find from that point on. From the beginning of the Carter administration, there's 457,000 marijuana arrests. As we moved all the way to the end of the Bush 1 administration, some 16 years later, we're down to 380,000 marijuana arrests. Despite what some cannabis consumers may think of the Reagan and Bush administration, they actually lowered marijuana arrests. From the Carter administration, it went down 13%. During the Reagan administration, down 0.3%. And during the Bush 1 administration, down 5%. From 457,000 at the beginning of Carter to 380,000 at the beginning or at the end of the Bush administration. Now, not so surprisingly, drug arrests skyrocketed. Not marijuana arrests. This, of course, is during the 80s and the Reagan administration. You see that massive spike in arrests for cocaine. And that led to the percentage of all drug arrests for marijuana dropping from 72% to the modern low of 29%. At the end of the Reagan administration, only 29% of all drug arrests were for marijuana, the vast majority there for cocaine and other drugs. That spike declined a bit during the Bush 1 administration, as well as arrests for drugs overall, as arrests for marijuana dipped below 300,000 in 1 year, then back up to 380,000 by the end of Bush 1's administration. As we continue in the election of President Clinton, this is where we see the greatest increase since Nixon in marijuana arrests, from 380,000 during the beginning of Clinton's first term to 723,000 by the end of Clinton's second term, an increase of 90% in marijuana arrests. But the arrests for other drugs also continued to climb. But the marijuana became a greater proportion, from 34% of all drug war arrests to 46% of all drug war arrests. And then we end up with the administration of George W. Bush, which, despite having an increase in the number of marijuana consumers arrested, increased it less than the Clinton administration. Only a 19% increase, from 723,000 arrests to 858,000 arrests. And as of the last year, 52% of all arrests in the war on drugs are for marijuana. So once again, marijuana makes up the majority of the arrests in the war on drugs. Now, the character of those arrests is quite different as well. 88% of all marijuana arrests are for possession versus 75% of all other drug arrests for mere possession. That just means with all other drugs, the government is more intent on catching the sellers and manufacturers than they are with marijuana, where they're more likely to just convict the possessors or arrest the possessors. Now, breaking that number down from 2009, we can come over to this pie chart. And this breaks down all the drug war arrests for 2009. And you can see 46% of all drug war arrests are for simple marijuana possession, with another 6% for marijuana cultivation and trafficking. With other drugs in the dark gray shades, for heroin, synthetic drugs, non-narcotic drugs, we see there are much less of a share of the war on drugs. Now, this war on drugs has also led to some terrible statistics when we look at our prison populations. At the bottom of the graph, we take a look at the 1.5 million people who are in the U.S. federal and state prison populations and what the racial makeup of those people are. 67% of the U.S. population is white, while 12% is black and 14% Hispanic. When it comes to monthly marijuana users, even a greater proportion are white, 70%, compared to 14% black, 12% Hispanic. When we look at monthly drug users, users of drugs other than cannabis, even a greater proportion are white, 71%, compared to 10% black, 13% Hispanic. But then, of course, those in federal and state prison for drugs are just about the opposite. Only 27% of the people in federal and state prison for drugs are white, compared to 45% that are black, 19% that are Hispanic, in complete opposite proportion to their use rates and their rate of population. Now, along the bottom, we see this little blue line that is continuing from 1935, and what this shows us is the complete state and federal prison population, not including people in jail, just the prison population of the United States of America. Now, as we move through the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, you'll see that it rises and falls slightly. It's expected to rise a bit because, of course, the population goes up throughout the decades. But once we hit the 1970s and 1975, you can see where all those drug war arrests begin to take their toll. As we reach into the 1980s and 1990s, that hill grows and grows to the point where by the end of 2009, we have 1.6 million people in federal and state prisons. And this is not including the 760,000 people that are in jail as well. And when we look at the breakdown of those people that are in prison, we find that 23% of them are there for drug crimes, 47% for violent crime, 17% for property crime, 12% for public order. 23%, nearly one in four people in federal and state prison, is there because of drugs. Now, that has led to the United States, unfortunately, leading a category, and that is the world's leading jailer. This is a pie chart that breaks down all of the countries in the world and how many people they have in prison. The United States is at the top, in the top right corner, the blue slice there, 2.3 million people in state and federal prison or in jail, making up 23% of all people in a cage in the world. The second closest is China, that's right, communist China, that repressive regime, with only 1.6 million people behind bars, making up 16% of the world's prisoners. Now remember, China has about 1.6 billion people, so comparatively per capita, we have many more people in prison than does China. Russia is third with 862,000 prisoners, 9% of the world's population. Brazil fourth with 473,000, or 5%. And then when we combine all of the countries that make up numbers 5 through 20, that would be India, Mexico, Thailand, Iran, South Africa, Ukraine, Indonesia, Turkey, Vietnam, the Philippines, Pakistan, the UK, Poland, Bangladesh, Japan, and Ethiopia, that comes to 2.3 million people, as many people as we, the United States, have behind bars. We are tied with countries 5 through 20 combined. Then when we look at the slice that represents all of the rest of the countries in the world that aren't in the top 20, that would be numbers 21 through 218, we find 2.4 million people behind bars. So we haven't quite beat out every other country in the world that's not in the top 20. And finally, of course, this leads to money that is spent to arrest all these people. The DEA's budget, $1,564 per drug arrest, and that leads to $1.186 billion being spent to enforce marijuana possession laws. And that's the slide there on the arrests and imprisonment. And then one other slide that we have here is to show you the Drug Employment Agency is what I call this, my newest slide. And this kind of tracks the marijuana arrests with the notion that the DEA and the drug war are really just a federal jobs program, a way of filling up budgets and people's paychecks to go after nonviolent cannabis consumers. Here are some of the statistics that help to show that. First, we take a look at American wars. And General Smedley Butler from World War I once famously said, "War is a racket." And if anything, that it's all about business interests and it's all about continuing to turn a profit. This is a chart of every major American war And I fast forwarded the chart to include up through June 17th, 2011, because that will be the 40th year anniversary of the war on drugs. Now, in the first column, we have every American war in the 1700s and 1800s. This would include the Revolutionary War taking 8 years, 5 months, the Civil War, 4 years, the two Barbary Wars, 4 years, and so forth. And this totals a little more than 20 years worth of time that we were at war as a country. As we look at the second column, it's all of the major American wars in the 1900s and 2000s. Of course, Vietnam, 10 years, 9 months, Afghanistan, 9 years, 8 months, Iraq, 8 years, 3 months, and so forth. World War II, 3 years, 9 months. Now, there could be disputing what the exact dates would be for the beginning and ending of the Vietnam War, but as far as the chart goes, it's still pretty accurate in showing that the war on drugs has lasted as long as every war we've fought against human beings from 1900 on. Now, I also chose to include a graph, and this graph comes from the DEA itself, where you can track what is the DEA budget, and that will be shown in green. What is the number of employees employed by the DEA? That will be shown in blue. And we will correspond that to marijuana arrests in yellow. And they're scaled equally so that 12,000 DEA employees equals $3 billion annual budget equals 1 million marijuana arrests, and then divided in equal increments of six. So 10,000, 8,000, 6,000, 4,000, 2,000 employees. We'll start here at the beginning of the DEA in 1972. Now, you can see that red line is the number of marijuana arrests, the blue line representing the DEA's staffing, and the green line representing their budget. And of course, as time goes on and marijuana arrests continue to go up, we also see the DEA's staffing and the DEA budget continuing to climb until we reach the end of the chart today, where the DEA has 10,784 employees, a $2.6 billion budget, and there have been 858,000 marijuana arrests. Now, this should not imply that the DEA is responsible for all of those marijuana arrests. Of course, most marijuana arrests happen at the local level with state or local police. However, since we've shown that the war on drugs is half marijuana, we think it's appropriate that the rise in marijuana at the low level also parallels the rise of the DEA at the top level. Now, how dangerous is it for these DEA agents to be enforcing these laws? Of course, they always come bursting into our doors with flashbang grenades and no-knock warrants and overwhelming force and automatic weapons and body armor because of the danger to the police officers. I have looked at a website from the FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting, and it shows you a section called LEOCA, Law Enforcement Officers Killed and Assaulted, and a specific chart in LEOCA breaks down federal officers that were killed or assaulted. So I made a bar graph that shows the DEA assaults in blue and the DEA deaths in black. Now, as we look at this graph, you will see there is no black. And that is because since 1996, zero DEA agents have been killed enforcing federal drug laws. Zero. Now, there are some injuries and assaults, averaging out about three assaults per year since 1996 on DEA agents. 1 year in 2000, there were five assaults on DEA agents. Last year in 2009, there were zero assaults on DEA agents. Now, another thing I keep track of on the graph, and this is also from LEOCA and Officer Down Memorial page, actual police officers, not DEA, but police officers in the line of duty and how they died, whether they died enforcing drug laws. Those are the gray bars that you'll see in this graph. And it's unfortunate when police die, and they should never have to be in a situation where they die because of a drug arrest. But it does happen. In 2008, there were seven officers that were killed in the line of duty. But the average going back for a few decades is never more than six police officers killed in a particular year. Now, we finalize this with information from the Cato Institute on innocents or nonviolent drug offenders who were killed during the service of a drug warrant. Those are those red bars. And you will see more innocent drug offenders, more nonviolent offenders, or more people who were innocent, they just happen to have the wrong address on the warrant, are killed than police officers. This is the legacy of the war on drugs. And finally, to answer the quote that it might be dangerous for them to be enforcing these drug laws, if that didn't show it, this will. These are the odds of dying from a specific encounter. Falls, drowning, fire, lightning, dog bites, earthquakes. You're more than twice as likely to die in an earthquake than being a police officer enforcing a drug law. The chance of dying enforcing a drug law is about 1 in 350,000, puts it about on par with dying in a fireworks accident. So there you have it. It's the Radical Rant, a look at drug war arrests, prison statistics, and the Drug Employment Agency. Hope you enjoyed that. It'll be a part of my book coming out later this summer, The Normal Big Book of Marijuana Facts. Make sure you check it out at your local Normal chapter or through normal.org. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie and Coleco the intern. We're out of here. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.